remind you just one last time,
this Tuesday evening, we do have some plans for shopping for our adoptees, plural, this year. And we are able to provide a little bit of Christmas cheer and some necessities and gifts for two special needs individuals, a young man named Jeremy, a young lady named Kristen. They both live over in the Florence area in separate group homes. They've both incurred a good deal of medical bills recently, and they don't have a lot of family, and this is usually the case with someone that we adopt. They don't have a lot of family or resources to provide some, just even some of these basic necessities. So several of us will be shopping this Tuesday for them. And this is a congregational project. Anyone is welcome to be a part of this. Anyone who would like to go and be a part of this, you're certainly welcome to. The plan is to meet this Tuesday at the Target Shopping Center, several stores there, but at the Target Shopping Center on University at 4 p.m. So if you can join us at that time or maybe a little later, you can call or text us and find out where we are. But we're going to start at that Target Shopping Center on University at 4 p.m. If you, for some reason, are unable to go, your schedule will not allow you to do that, then please, we encourage you to give to help fund this particular project. Several have given some money today, and I know several others are planning to. So please give and give generously. We are buying for two different individuals this year. So if you can give very generously to that, I know it will be very, very much appreciated, and you can be assured that it will bless a couple of people who otherwise would not receive a blessing in the name of the Lord. And we certainly want to do all that we can to help those who are unable, really, really, to help themselves in any kind of significant way at all. And what a great blessing it is to let our light shine and to give glory to God as we do things like this. This evening, I would encourage you to turn to the 90th Psalm. We're going to spend just a few moments kind of building a little bit of framework for our lesson tonight in the 90th Psalm. And ultimately, what we're going to talk about here tonight are some ways to lengthen your life. Three ways we want to spend supporting that with several scriptures to lengthen your life. You know, we've already been aware from the announcement that was made a little earlier, and perhaps just in general messaging and on our church Facebook page, of Sam Rogers' situation, where the length of his life does not appear to be very many more days. We certainly pray for that family, and we understand that even if we talk about, from the biblical standpoint, ways to lengthen our life, that all things considered, eventually, there is an end to life, and we want to live our lives, no matter how long that may be, as productively, as spiritually as we possibly can. But we also understand that everything has a limited lifespan. I read somewhere that if you take a common yellow pencil, full lead and so on, and it's a good pencil, not one of those little cheap ones, but you take a really good yellow pencil, I guess it could be red or blue or whatever color, but you take a really, just a normal pencil, that it is capable to, of writing as many as 30,000 words. Or if you just took it and started drawing a straight line, you could draw a straight line for almost 30 miles before it ran out. That's kind of like if I attached a pencil to my car and I drove home and then drove back here, that would be about 30 miles. And that would use up the whole pencil. But eventually it's used up. Old incandescent light bulbs, you know, had a lifespan of what, like 750 hours. And now we have LED bulbs that have lifespans, you know, based on if you use it 3 hours a day or so on, 13 years, 15 years. I pulled out a bulb the other day and it says 18 years. And I thought, I'll be 69 years old before I have to change this bulb again. but at any rate, we understand, though, that eventually even those things that last that long, they have a limited lifespan. And we, our human body, has a limited lifespan. I guess in some ways we're made aware of that, particularly with our situation with our good brother Sam. But we also are made aware of that in our families. We have been made aware of that as we watch family members who age and grow older and succumb to the problems that are connected often with that. And we understand that there is a limited lifespan even for people. But there are things that we can do in the Bible to lengthen our life. And maybe some of these things we could obviously make the connection that they would lengthen our lives as far as the number of days or the number of years that we might actually exist on the earth. But I think we can also make application of this that it will lengthen our life even in a greater way. That it will lengthen our life, spiritually speaking. That we'll grow more spiritually, even though our no matter what the days of our lives are on this earth, that we can still have a great long spiritual life. And that great long spiritual life can be lengthened, it can grow. And ultimately, as we wrap around and we think about these things and we bring it to a conclusion in a few moments, we will lengthen our life for all eternity with God when we do some of the things that the Bible tells us to do or when we do the things that the Lord instructs us to do. So with that in mind, the 90th Psalm is a psalm that we understand was most likely written by Moses. It's the only one we have in the whole collection that was probably attributed to him. But there's a section of this particular psalm that we understand to be about growing old and the things we need to do as we grow old. And you really kind of build it to that point. We're going to read the first 12 verses of it, but to really build it to that point, we're going to back up and we're going to start at the beginning of the psalm. And this is a psalm that I will often use in connection with a funeral or speaking at someone's memorial service, because there's so much here that is so very relevant to situations like that. But I think as we're making the application about lengthening our lives, we learn some great things here as well. And so the psalm says, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by Your anger, and by Your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your countenance. All our days have passed away in Your wrath, and we finish our years like a sigh," or some translations say, "a tale that is told. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of Your anger? For as the fear of You, so is Your wrath." And then here's the real application. So, teach us to do what? Number our days, that we may do what? Gain a heart of wisdom. And the things that we learn from God's Word, and the things that we obey from the teachings of the Lord, they may not guarantee us even to live these 70 years or 80 years that are sort of a general spectrum of man's existence. But they will help us live a long life, even if on the calendar it's not that many years. They will help us live a full life, even if on the calendar it's not that many years. And ultimately, they will help us live all eternity, an everlasting life. And the thing that we learn here is that we need to learn how to number our days. In other words, you know, when it says 70 years and 80 years, that's not an absolute. A lot of people who live many years fewer than that, a lot of people who live many years beyond that. The point is, life is limited. Life on this earth eventually comes to an end. That's the point. And it might even be 70 or 80 years. But eventually, it comes to an end. So what do I need to do? Realize, number my days, realize that I only have a certain amount of days to live. It might be 35 years worth of days. It might be 98 years worth of days, or somewhere in between, or a little more, or a little less. But I only have a certain amount of days. And so I need to make the most of every day that I have to gain a heart of wisdom. And so as we think about some of the things coming to the end of a year, coming to the end of events, coming to the end of various things, I think it's significant that we spend a little bit of time also looking at some things that the Scripture says about lengthening our days and lengthening our life, not only maybe here, but most significantly for eternity. And so with those things in mind, I want to make about three suggestions to you from the Scriptures about how we can lengthen our days. And a great deal of what we're going to do tonight is make a suggestion, and then based on some Scriptures, and then we're going to follow that up with a reading of the various Scriptures that substantiate and support exactly what we're talking about. And so I suppose maybe as we're thinking about biblical concepts and biblical precepts related to lengthening our days, and here's the first area that we want to think about, and you probably maybe have already let this pass across your mind based on the Scriptures. One of the ways that we can lengthen our days is to honor our father and mother, to obey our parents, to honor our parents. Now, this is a precept that finds itself rooted all the way back in the old law. In fact, as the Lord gave what we would say, you know, the top ten, as the ten principles out of which all of the rest of the law flows, and you look at Exodus chapter 20, the first record of the giving of the Ten Commandments, as they are so deemed, in verse 12, honor your father and your mother, and look at what it says, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, there's a repeat of this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, because by the time you get to the book of Deuteronomy, that first generation that was punished and all died in the wilderness had all died off. And now the second generation is ready to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so the law is given to them again. And you find a lot of things repeated in the book of Deuteronomy that you find over in Exodus and Leviticus. But the Ten Commandments are repeated once again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in essence, you read almost identically the same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. There's an inspired commentary on this in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then the quotation from the Old Testament, honor your father and mother, and then the commentary on it, inspired commentary by the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul, which is the first commandment with promise that your days would be long upon the earth. And it says in verse 3 that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, again, this is not necessarily an absolute in the same way that 70 years, 3 score and 10 and 4 score years are not absolutes, because there are some people who have honored and obeyed and followed very faithfully their parents, but maybe did not live a long, exceedingly long life. And on the converse, there are some people who have completely dishonored their parents and never thought once about obeying them, and they just seem to live on and on and on. But there's a general principle here that when we listen to our parents, and particularly it says when we honor our parents, and as Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents, that there are some blessings there connected with our life. Now, we could probably go around this room, and every one of us could probably name at least one person who's lying in a cemetery, who is lying in that cemetery because they went against the basic principles that their parents taught them in their home. I can take you to a cemetery over in Lauderdale County, Alabama, to the grave of my second cousin. And he died as a fairly young man, raised by a godly Christian mother. But what she taught him, he did not always obey. And he paid the ultimate price for it. We can all probably think of someone that would be thus identified. And so we understand there's great value in obeying the parents and honoring the parents. And that doesn't mean necessarily we endorse everything our parents do. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything our parents do is going to be right. I mean, they're human as well. They're going to make mistakes and they're sinners. But there's a little bit of a distinction, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children obey your parents, you know, when you're still very young. And then in the Ten Commandments, and then quoted again in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2, a principle that I think applies more as we're continuing to grow older and we become adults ourselves and maybe even parents ourselves. Not necessarily it says to obey your parents at that stage, but what? To honor your parents. That we pay honor to them, even though we don't necessarily endorse everything they do. And I guess one of the most fitting illustrations of that I can think of in all of Scripture is King Saul in the Old Testament and his son Jonathan. King Saul became a very wicked man. And even his son Jonathan knew that his father was very sinful and did not endorse, did not want to go along with some of the things his father wanted to do. And yet, as you read through the record of Jonathan and Saul, his father, you will always see that Jonathan, while not endorsing, not believing in, was very respectful to his father because he was his father. And he even died beside him on a battlefield. That's a little bit of what I think the Bible means when it says honor. Honor your parents. And we have to understand that as we make a greater application of this, there's one parent that we all need to obey and that we all need to honor, our eternal Father. And when we obey Him, indeed our life will be long and it will be well with us. Well, let's move on to a second area that the Bible tells us we can lengthen our life. And this is sort of a broad category that we could put many, many, many scriptures in application of this. And we're going to take several, particularly from the Old Testament under the Old Law. But the second principle, the first one, you know, honor your parents. The second one is live obediently. Be obedient. Not just to the parents we're talking about now, but in the broader sense, that we're obedient to God. And there are several tremendous promises scattered throughout the Scriptures that teach us the significance of obedience and the connection it will have to our lifespan. Because after all, when we go against what God wants us to do, how many people have prematurely cut their lives short because they have gone against what God wants them to do? And the book of Deuteronomy is full of several passages that try to drive this message home to this. It's interesting, you know, remember I said a moment ago, this is the second generation of people who are going into the promised land, because the first generation, what had happened to them? Because of their disobedience, they were all what? Dead. And now he's telling the second generation, don't blow it like they did. Don't mess it up like they did. Don't be sinful like they were. Instead, listen to what I have to say, that your life may be much better and have a better, you know, fulfillment and a better ending ultimately. So there's several passages in the book of Deuteronomy. And here, as you follow along, Deuteronomy 4 is where we'll start. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39 and 40. As you look at those two verses, God says, "Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above, and on the earth beneath there is no other. You shall therefore keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you today, that it may be well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time." You continue reading the book of Deuteronomy. Look at the next chapter, Deuteronomy 5, that we've already referred to once. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 and 33, the last two verses of the chapter. "Therefore," and this is just after the Ten Commandments have been repeated, "Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." But keep reading in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Look at the next chapter, the next verses. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, and keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." Remember, the second area that we're discussing here about how to lengthen our life is to do what? Live obediently. And here the promise is being made several times in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's not finished yet. If you turn ahead in the book of Deuteronomy to chapter 25, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15, you'll read something very similar to what we already have. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15. "You shall have a perfect and just way." He's talking about how they're supposed to live, their ethical treatment of their fellow man. And he's saying, "You shall have a perfect and just way." If you're selling things, you need to be equitable, you need to be fair. "A perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God has given you." In other words, you shorten the measuring rod of how much cloth you're going to sell somebody, you just shorten your life. But you have it like it's supposed to be, you have lengthened your life. It's not finished yet in the book of Deuteronomy, though. Look at chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." He is our life, and He is the length of our days. We keep reading in the Old Testament. transition up, if you would, to the book of 1 Kings. In the book of 1 Kings, let's talk about another father and son for a moment here, and that's David and his son Solomon. And as David is nearing the end of his life and his time as king, he's handing the administration over to Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, he gives him a great deal of counsel and guidance, you know, in some of these things. These things have been done. And we read about his judgment. We read about Solomon asking in prayer for wisdom. And when you get to chapter 3, you see that God responds to Solomon. And in verse 14, 1 Kings 3:14, "So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Again, the promise is made. Obedience results in a lengthening of the days. The book of Proverbs. Now, let's move over to the book of Proverbs, because there is much said here. We'll just have to pick a few select places where this is mentioned. But when you look at the book of Proverbs, here are two or three places where we run into this concept once again. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, the first two verses of Proverbs chapter 3, as the father, Solomon, the author here, but as a father giving counsel and guidance to his son. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Listening to what the father says, because the father is listening to God. But also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, look at verses 13 and 18. "Happy is 13 through 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom." Same chapter, Proverbs 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life." That's talking about a long life. Wisdom is what's being talked about here. "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Look ahead at the next chapter of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. "Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go." Why? "Keep her, for she is your life." Notice how graphically that's stated. "Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go." Several years ago, Celine and I and our children, when they were much younger, we went to a corn maze. You know, talk about making money off of dead plants. But we went to a corn maze. And one of the things that they had in this corn maze was you could ride this contraption that somebody who was good at welding had built these little cars that they had attached to a four-wheeler, and all the cars were they'd taken these big 55-gallon barrel drums and they'd cut them in half and they'd put wheels on them and a little handle on it, and you could sit in the cow cars and be pulled by the four-wheeler through part of the corn maze at night in the dark. And it was neat looking, and we got all the kids on it, and this guy took off, and I didn't know four-wheelers could do 112 miles an hour. But this guy just floored it, and we took off, and we're driving, you know, through the corn, and you know, he's driven it 1,000 times, so he knows where he's going, but I don't know that. And I sure don't know where he's going. And we're driving through this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, this thing was not made with any kind of oversight. This thing was not made with any kind of inspection. You know, there's nothing. This is just something some guy made, you know, out in his backyard with his welder. And so we're going along. Let me tell you something. You know, where the Bible says here, "Take firm hold and do not let go." I was holding on to that thing for dear life. And I thought, Lord, you can take me, but please let my children live. And really, really, I mean, you know, this is done humorously a lot of times, but I, in all sincerity, I said, Lord, if you will let us live, I vow I will never get on this again. I will never get on this again. Take firm hold, like your life depends on it. Because I tell you, that night, I mean, I thought it did. But we're talking about instruction. Do not let go. Why? It is your life. It is your life. And so when we take firm hold like that, it is our life. It is the length of our days. It is living obediently, and it lengthens our life. Well, let's move on to one final, a third and final way that we lengthen our life. And it kind of builds on what we've already said, particularly in the second point. We fear God, and we build a heart of wisdom. We cultivate, we grow a heart that matures in wisdom. And when we do those things, then we are lengthening our life. Stay right there in Proverbs and look at, turn a page or two over in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 10 and 11. We're talking about a third area, how we can lengthen our life. We're fearing God and cultivating, growing a heart of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We all have probably had that one memorized, but keep reading verse 11. For by me, wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and the years of life will be added to you. Because we fear God, and we keep His commandments. You keep reading in the book of Proverbs about this idea. Look at the next chapter, Proverbs 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So we fear God. We have that holy reverence for God, that holy respect for God that brings us to obedience to God, that lengthens our life because we're not doing the things that are going to get us killed. We're not doing the things that are going to shorten our life because they're unwise. They're unhealthy. They're ungodly. They're shortening our life. Turn back to the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11 and following. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 11. How do we lengthen our life? Well, we fear God and we grow a heart of wisdom. We cultivate a heart of wisdom. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So when we fear God, and we do as specified here, some of the things we don't speak evil, we don't practice deceit, we do good, we seek peace, and we pursue it. When we do those things, we are adding to our life. And so that kind of loops us back around now to where we started, back in the Psalms, the 90th Psalm. Lord, do what? Teach us to number our days. Why? That we may find a heart of wisdom. You know, everything that the devil tries to lure us and tempt us to do, ultimately, is self-destructive. Self-destructive right now in the flesh, the material side of life, and self-destructive for all eternity. But God, God wants us to have a long life here.
Yes, that's a great blessing.
But more significantly, more importantly, God wants us to have a long, long, long life for all eternity with Him in His care. God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Lengthen your days. Believe in God. Believe in His Word. Obey God. Obey His Word. Follow faithfully. If that is your need tonight, if that is where you need to put yourself, then would you come as we stand and we sing.